This is Wade Rathke with the Chief Organizer's Report, shortlisting. On Wage World recently, I talked to two law professors, Hannah Johnson and Renee Jefferson, about how they handicapped the chances of various black women judges who'd been mentioned as possible nominees for the open seat in the U.S. Supreme Court. They had some interesting insights on that question. The odds-on favorite, they believed, was U.S. Appeals Court Judge Ketanji Jackson. And she's not just an appeals court judge, but a sitting member of what most believe is the most prestigious appeals court located in the Washington, D.C. district. After finishing Harvard with high honors, where she was also an editor later of the Harvard Law Review, she was a clerk for Justice Stephen Breyer, whose seat is coming open upon his retirement. There are other strong candidates. For example, a non-Ivy League judge from South Carolina is being pushed heavily by Congressman Clymer, who has a lot of stroke with President Biden, given his role in pushing forward Biden's pivotal victory in the South Carolina primary. It's a long list, and that, they would argue, is the point. The professors had written a book that turned out to now be very timely called Shortlisted, Women in the Shadows of the Supreme Court. They had researched the vetting and nomination process over the last almost 100 years when the first woman was put on a list for the court right through the Obama appointees. Where Sandra Day O'Connor was the first woman appointed on the court, we now have three there. They quoted former Justice Ginsburg favorably, who had commented that she would be happier when all nine of the justices were women. All this is a bit out of my lane, but where the professors made an inarguable point is that the use of the short list has historically been more a political tactic than a lineup of candidates with an equal opportunity to win the seat. Many of the presidents, all the way up through Richard Nixon, put women on the list less because they were under serious consideration and more often simply as placeholders in the act of throwing up a few straws to be carried in the political winds. Their research turned up too many White House reports of misogyny in and around the Oval Office. It was cringeworthy to read the descriptions of some of the shortlisted women described in the most sexist way, including a New York Times comment about one esteemed judge still swimsuit attractive. I think their point on shortlists is broader than simply the Supreme Court. Whether book awards, Hollywood movies and actors, or candidates for National Football League head coaching positions, the shortlist seems not as much a reveal or an effort at transparency as it is a political act and a head fake, concealing true intentions and too often the real internal process of decision makers and the powers that be. We know how decisions are really made, but too often we're tricked into the handicapping process and forget about the reality. Too many participants on these lists also help enable them because of careerism and financial benefits they believe might inure to them. I'm not naive. Democracy is not coming to many selection processes, but at least can we demand that they not play us? This is Wade Rathke. For questions or comments, www.chieforganizer.org. You take it from here to there.